when discussing Chesh Mishpah Shailas.
What's the
fair amount of around the table discussion? And be more enjoyable to everyone, myself included. When talking about Chesh Mishpah, you always want to make it about big money. If it's just a little like two people share the taxi, one got out halfway, the one went the full way, how much do they pay? A third of £5 or half of £5. It's not worth falling out with your brother for £2.50. It's going to be big money to appreciate the shayla and really, really judge the shayla. On the other hand, there's a certain pleasure when you have like a gigantic sugya with a rishinim and achrinim on marich, and you make that big, huge sugya over the smallest amount of money. So the shayla we're going to discuss today, I've got two examples for you, both true stories, both happened, both in the last 6 months. One is big money, one is small money, so we'll get the best of both worlds. Right, so we're going to discuss today something to do with shlichus. Now, I'm not referring to the type of going somewhere to the Far East, putting tefillin on people on hot Shabbos meals. I'm talking about if you make it somebody, your agent, your shliach, to do something on your behalf. You learn kedushin in school?
No.
Well, there's a lot of it there. Ishmikash, that's right, bang on. Probably true. Yes.
Definitely. Yeah.
So we're not talking about getting kedushin. We're talking about if you make a shliach to buy something for you. Call out upon our good friends, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, ask Shimon, please buy me something. How does that shlichus work? Now, this can happen, this does happen in a variety of ways, in a million different scenarios, and we have to understand what's going on over here. So Reuven asks Shimon, please buy me item X. Shimon goes ahead and does it. What just happened? Did Shimon buy it, and he now will go and sell it to Reuven? So he's buying it for himself and selling it on to Reuven. Or did he buy it, and it automatically belongs to Shimon, and just Reuven owes him money? Now, there's loads of nafkaminas between these two options. I wrote down six.
Does it make a difference if he gives him money before?
Right. Does it make a difference whose money he's using? Is it Mishaleach's money or Shliach's money? Good question, and that's what the whole second half of the shit is about. Simple nafkamina. This shayla that happened, when was it? After Pesach. Reuven asked Shimon, who's flying, please can you buy me cigarettes and duty free? It's tobacco. So.
Awesome.
I agree.
This
So Reuven asked Shimon, please can you buy me tobacco and duty free? So Sean, a problem. Bought through the tobacco and he says, you should know it cost £38. Somebody offered me £45 for it. But I told you I'm going to give it to you, so I'll give it to you for 38. This conversation took place in front of me. So I said to Shimon, you think you're a tzaddik, but you're not a tzaddik. Or are you a tzaddik? Is he selling it on to Reuven? Or is he just passing it on to Reuven? Can he decide to give it to someone else? Can he decide, I'll mark it up, I'll make a profit on it? Can Reuven say, oh, sorry, I actually don't need tobacco. I decided it's dangerous, I'm quitting. Can
make different terms of ribbis as well.
Yes. Now the next half minute. Ribbis. Can Shimon say it cost £38, just give me 40? Another nafkamina. Another nafkamina goes through customs and the customs say you got tobacco there. He said, yeah, I'm allowed to take one through, it's below the limit. So no you're not, and takes it, throws it in the bin. Completely abused his own power. Yeah, he took it himself. Mamashazi. So can Shimon turn around to Ruben and say, sorry, your tobacco is in the bin? So he says, sorry, your tobacco's in the bin. Whose is it? It's loads of nafkaminas. You have to see what's going on over here. So, we have a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Simon Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Dalad. So Shulchan Aruch is quoting the opinion of the Rama. This is not the Rama in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama's one Rishin. Reuven, our good friend Reuven, Sha'amar Shimon, says to Shimon, Zivin li hai midi, please buy me that thing. Exactly our case. There's often a stomach konye Reuven Mishas Mashiach. From when Shimon did the kinyan, it belongs to Reuven. And therefore, if he gets lost in his oinus, it's Reuven's problem. Can Reuven say, sorry, I don't want it anymore? No, he can't. Can Shimon say, give me it for myself? No, he can't. Can he charge extra? Yeah, he can. Nobody lent him any money. did he? No, you can't. No, that'll be nothing that you can't. Because now I owe you £38. I can't pay you £40. So you see, Klan Shulchan Aruch, it belongs to Reuven immediately, doesn't belong to Shimon. That's all fine until you take a peep at the Shach Yasif Katan base, quoting Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was also a Rishon. Says Rabbeinu Yerucham, if I buy something, tobacco, and I miscaven the Zchus Chaveri, I'm buying it for my friend, called Reuven. Loi Kana Chaveri. Even if you tell Adam, it doesn't work, unless you tell the seller that don't be machmir to me, the shliach, be machmir to my friend. So this is seemingly a machloikus between the Rabbeinu Yerucham in the Shach to the Rama in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Beis Yosef says it's a machloikus. The Rama says it's a machloikus. And so passing is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Mamish this case, Reuven asked Shimon to buy something. Shimon bought something for Reuven. And before it got to Reuven's hands, there was an oinus, and it got lost. Who suffers the loss? Says Rav Moshe, it's a machloikus between Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Rama. And he calls it a sfeika d'dina. Sfeika d'dina means Rav Moshe equals sofik, and Rav Moshe b'chavei lav arayah, it depends if he's paid or not yet paid. That's how Rav Moshe paskins. You wanted to ask something? What's on your mind?
Got it here. When I picked four mitzvah boys from a shop,
right.
I pick it up on behalf of the mitzvah boy. Otherwise we get into problems of kinyonim and Shabbos for the bin of the mitzvah boy gets it.
So does that work? Right. Says the Shach and says the Kitzais. This machlekas between Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Rama is not a machlekas. So the Rama is talking about a case where Reuven asked Shimon to buy for him, and Rabbeinu Yerucham is talking about a case where Shimon did it on his own free will. Explain the Kitzais. The vot's not of asking or not asking. The vot is when I have asked you to go do it, and you go do it, what in essence is happening is you are lending me the money for the item. You're not, instead of giving it to me, you're giving it to my good friend, the shopkeeper, and he's giving me the item, and now I owe you money, and the item is mine. That's the case of the Rama. But the Rabbeinu Yerucham, he's talking about a case where Reuven didn't ask Shimon. Shimon went to the shop and says, I want to buy a present for somebody, please can you be matna? I want to buy it for Reuven. So if he doesn't tell the shopkeeper anything, then Reuven is not going to be obligated to pay Shimon for what he laid out. So because it's not using the funds, the money of the mashalech of Reuven, it won't belong to Reuven. That's the difference between Rabbeinu Yerucham's case and the Rama's case. So the nafka min is going to be enormous. In a case where any time where the mashalech won't be paying the shliach for buying the item, you can't say commando's pin, you can't say, and therefore it won't work unless you tell the seller. Now we get to our stories. One story is the story you just mentioned, that you're buying it on their behalf without them asking you, and they're not going to be paying you back. That's one case.
I'm buying it on behalf of the shul.
Right.
To give to the
somewhere. Right. So the shul. Right.
I'm not paying anything. I'm actually just picking it up for them. In that case.
Right. No. So he picking up. Okay. Well.
That case.
We don't think of new cases during the year. It's actually a disaster.
Correct.
Right.
To get around the kinyan.
But I'm picking it up and being coin it on behalf of the mitzvah.
Right. So that would work.
Yeah.
That would work because it's zochin. No, that's
yeah. So you're zochin lot them.
Yeah. That's a different sikkur. Not entirely different. Overlap. Right. So two stories. Big money story first, or the little money story first? Big money. This story happened in London. There was a father-in-law who had a son-in-law, and he bought them a house, and he put it on his name for legal reasons. It's happened before, and that's what they did. This story happened in 1980 or something. The son-in-law and his daughter and the Ganze Mishpucha lived there for tens of years. Recently, the father-in-law passed away. Come along the new brothers-in-law to their Tyra Shvaga, and they say, it was lovely having you in our house. It's time for you to go. She said, what do you mean? It's my house. She said, how's it your house? She said, Dad bought it for me. She said, he bought it from a Yid. You didn't lend your father nor the money. Was it his own money? He was buying it for you as a matana. So, and the seller didn't know who it was going for. The seller thought it was going to Mr. Father-in-law. So the kinin was to the father-in-law. And you... You never made a kinyan. You lived in it all these years. Kinyan chazakha. Now, imagine if you do kinyan chazakha without thinking that you're doing a kinyan. It's a gemara. Or you do a benichse hager. If somebody's busy ploughing a field, which is a chazakha on a field, and he doesn't know that the hager died, so he doesn't know that he's doing a kinyan, that's not a kinyan. He's not kainah. So this son-in-law, for 35 years, has been living in his house, thinking it was his own house. Plowing a field in front of the house, fixing the lock, building the lock, opening, closing the door, locking all the kinyan chazakas in the world. He did bar mashiach at the house, he did everything. But he didn't think he was doing a kinyan. He thought it was already his. He could have done a kinyan because the father-in-law let him do a kinyan, but he never did. So it belonged to the father-in-law. The father-in-law passed away, it goes to the sons. So now it belongs to the sons. The son's saying, I don't let you do a kinyan now because it's mine. And so it never belonged to you. According to Rabbeinu Yerucham, according to the Kesos, according to the Shach,
because the vendor
didn't know who it was going to. The Choyer wouldn't go to the son-in-law.
But if the father-in-law would have said to the vendor, I'm buying this for my son-in-law, that would be fine.
That would be fine, correct. Right, according to Ramesha, who holds us as Sveika Dedina, He holds that the Ramah is not mechalek between if you say or if you don't say, if you pay him back or not pay him back. So according to Ramesha, he's a mechzik on the house. He says, I'm living here and cultive.
It's not legally under.
If they want to go
to the house. Ramesha is out of Raya, so yeah. they can say, prove that it's yours.
Because
they've got the legal documents.
So is that makes you a mechzik when you have a legal document? Halakhically?
A star.
In court, it might work.
Would
we call a star? Yeah. So star arrived. No one's doubting what took place in 1970. So everyone knows that star doesn't have any. So it might actually have been halakhically true. No, it doesn't matter. Even legally, if it was put in someone else's name for a different reason, it was really bought on their behalf. Even legally, it doesn't make a difference what it says on the document.
Need a trust.
Right.
There should have been indeed a trust.
Should have been, yeah. Yeah, there should have been lots of
trust documents. Help.
Then you can't get your benefits.
Yeah, that's from now you have to register the trust.
Yeah.
But they weren't denying that the father had given it to the daughter.
They say he wanted to.
They agree that he wanted.
He wanted to.
They weren't saying, oh, he only ever lent it to you.
No, they weren't saying that. They were saying he wanted to give it to you.
They're just arguing about there was no kinyan.
Yeah, you thought that he had given it to you, and really, as a pastor, it's really just given.
But why?
No, it was never given to you.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that.
It was never yours.
Yeah.
But the fact he was doing things to it. And the father-in-law didn't become a chor. Why would that not be called a chazaka?
No, you live in it, chayav, but it doesn't mean
you. Because you thought it already was yours, and it wasn't actually yours. You thought you already did a kinyan, and you didn't actually do a kinyan.
Okay. That's problem.
Right, now to the petty shayla. There was a shul, not as glorious as this shul, and a bit of a makeshift put together shul, and. Shabbos morning, a few people sitting around having kiddush and serving a kegel. I'm trying to serve it with a plastic teaspoon. It wasn't working very well. So one of the members of the shul said, I'm making a grand donation to the shul. I'm buying a spoon. One whole metal real spoon. That's my donation to the shul. Now, you see, he was going to go buy it, then he thought it's going to need to be the scalium. So he doesn't. If he buys it, toivels it, and gives it to the shul, then he got the problem. What problem do you have?
You can't toivel if it's somebody else.
That
It's like the shopkeeper totaling something as well.
That's
can't do it.
Because by you, it's not a kli sudda. It's not for eating. For you, it's a present. The shul can table. Shows who's the chivon, who's actually the person in the shul who's chayav. But it's been used for food, so it's chayav tefillah. But a shopkeeper can't table the kelim in his shop because for him it's not kli sudda. Only the person who's going to be using it. This shah is very common where shlachmanas, people buy all sorts of trays and dishes and whatnot, and they want to table it before we give it as a present, so that might not work. And if you want to use it to put the cupcakes on for your shlachmanas, so is that called using it for food, or is that food not really food, it's just a present? Big sugar to this kelim. So he said he doesn't want to do that, he wants to do it, that it should be directly the shul's. Right, so how's he going to do it? He's not getting any money back from the shul for it. So according to the Reini Ruchim and according to the Ksais, it's not going to belong automatically to the shul unless you tell the shopkeeper. Okay. Amazon, you ordered Amazon? Amazon, you can order something and you can tick that box. This is a gift. And you put the different delivery address from your registered address. Is that called telling the seller that it's not for me and I want you to be mapping it to someone else? Any thoughts?
Does he have to know the person? Does he know who the person is? Will he make an escovina?
Whoever that person is. Write the gift, the message. This is for Plainy Ben Plainy.
Yeah.
They
just
say
back
it differently.
Yeah, so I think he's right. This is a gift. They don't care it's a gift. All it means is don't put the receipt there.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. And you want me to drop it off in that house instead of that house? That's all it means. And it's not personal, you're not telling anybody, it's all automated.
Not done by robots.
Yeah, exactly. So that can't be called telling the seller that's going to someone else. Okay, Amazon's out. What's next? Tesco. Sainsbury's, Asda, I'm not getting involved. So you go there, you go to the self-service checkout, you tell the machine, you should know, I'm not buying it for myself, I'm buying it for the shul. So Shaila, who exactly the person in the shul is, who has a chiyuv tefillas kelim, but whoever it is, the whole company and the unit and the collective of the shul, that's who I'm buying it from. And so, please place your item on there. That's not called telling them. I think you can agree with that. Okay, next up, you're going to have to go to the cashier. The one. Is that called telling her?
No, it doesn't belong to her.
So what is she? Why do you assume it's her? Why not him? Is that just
one political question?
Yeah.
It's an it.
Yeah.
Or them.
Yeah. What is she? Is she a shliach of the seller? And you can tell the shliach of the seller who to be maknet
to?
And she's maknet to you on behalf of the seller?
Is she?
I asked the question first. Why are you asking me? And a guy can have a shliach? Can he? Can she? Can they? So it's machleik. So he tells you can. So he tells that a guy can make another guy a shliach. No, it's machleik. But let's say a guy can have a guy a shliach. Is she tak a shliach? You know what she is? She's an operator of a self-checkout for people who don't have the brains or patience to use the self-checkout. You can tell him a machleik from Hype is mug, you can tell her who to be maknae to. I'm not buying for you, buying your behalf. Oh yeah, it's sunny outside, yeah. It's nothing to them. It doesn't mean anything. It's not called telling them. She's not being maknae to someone else. I don't know if she's doing any kinning at all to you. She's not maknae. She's saying as long as you've been paid or done whatever kinning may be, then I'm not going to call security. She's not maknae. So I'll tell you what the fella did. He said, I am buying a spoon. It is my spoon. I am tabling the spoon. I am not giving it to the shul. So what am I doing? I'm lending it to the shul. Lending the shul. And they can use it. Solved all issues?
Is it clear healer for him?
Yeah, you can have different people using his spoon to eat kegel or whatever.
Promise to buy them a spoon. It's not actually
bought him. Oh, this guy's good. He promised, he made an end of the stucker, I will buy the spoon of it. However he did it, I will buy the sugar spoon. Is he backtracking on his word?
Buy another spoon?
And then he's going to end the issues again.
Can he buy it, lend it to them, and then at a point in time say, here's the spoon?
Yeah. Then something called Baltache, got it to you in the darn straight away.
It doesn't have to be after the first week finished.
Right.
You used it once, that's it. No, you
must. I think just my plastic spoon.
That was the problem. They started with a plastic spoon, and you should have seen the mess.
No, one was strong.
Some people don't play for plastic.
In Manchester, that's a Manchester thing.
What?
Totally plastic. Minchas Yitzchak was the one who held that plastic in East Tevila. In actually strong in America, there's nobody.
Hard plastic. In Glasgow, we always toy with hard plastic, not soft plastic.
That was all the hash was in Minchas Yitzchak. In America, in actually strong, toy with plastic is unheard of.
Come to Glasgow. Right. Always toy with
There was another solution which he could have done. He could have bought it and asked someone else to do a kinyan on it on behalf of the shul. And now that it belongs to the shul, you can do toil. That's what you do with the bat mitzvah. The shul's buying it. You're doing a kinyan on behalf of the bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he could have done. And the shaila is, he backtracking on his neder? His neder is to give to the shul. It makes no difference. The shul have a spoon to use for the kikul till it gets lost. So they got what they wanted anyway.
Nafkah mina would be if it got lost.
So what's nafkah
mina? If he says it belongs to the shul, and then there is it. If somebody else lost it,
who do they have to pay?
Who do you have to pay?
Somebody else damaged it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've managed to clarify a lot today, explain the Shlichus, the Ramah, Rabbeinu Yerucham, and we're going to leave it here.
Sure. Thank you very much.